Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Anyway, it's good to be back. I have a word for us today. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be reading from verse 17 through 21. There's a title to this message, and it speaks about the content of the message. And it's called Lids and Leaks. Lids and Leaks. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it reads, "Therefore," I'm reading from the New King James Version, "therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord." Now, I believe that God wants to do something amazing in the time that we're in. How many of you believe that? God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit in us so that He can work through us to impact this world. You believe that? Problem is, many people either can't receive what He gives or they can't retain what He gives. He wants to pour His Spirit out. He wants to demonstrate His Spirit, but unfortunately, many people have got into a mode of just getting by, of just making it instead of making history, which is what God wants you to do. Because history speaks of His story. He has a story that He wants us to share. But sometimes in churches, we get to a point where we're just getting by. Let's be honest. How many of you have just got by at times within your life? You've just made it, man. You just, come on, let me see your hands. I believe it's most of us in this place. You just kind of get by for a bit. But God don't want us to just get by. He wants to pour His Spirit out so that we are walking in power. I'm walking in power. You know that song? Working miracles. When was the last time you worked a miracle? Come on now. When was the last time you led someone to Jesus? When was the last time you prayed for a sick person and they got well? When was the last time you cast a demon out of someone's life? Oh, but those things don't work that way these days. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm letting you know right now, He wants to pour His Spirit out in this church. Being Spirit-filled is the most amazing thing that can ever happen in your life. From the moment of your salvation, when the Holy Spirit enters your being and your life literally changes, the Spirit of God gives you more than you've ever had before or known before or experienced before about life. You can't experience true life without the Spirit of life being in you. Can someone say amen? I don't know about you, but I experienced a lot of things before I was a Christian. I drank it, smoked it, sniffed it, fixed it, waxed it, stuck it in my eye, whatever, licked it. Amen. But how many of you know that there's been no life like the life that I've known since the Spirit of God came and entered me and changed me? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says this. Says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." See, when you believe, when you first believe, when you have responded to the grace of God through faith and have entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus, when you're giving Him your wrongs and He gives you His rights, the power of the Holy Spirit seals you. He comes inside you, He fills you, and then He seals you. You are His. You belong to Him. You are empowered. You have everything that you need within you. You are filled with His life and you are protected by His power. Can someone say thank you, Jesus? And then you literally have everything you need for living the life that you were created to live inside you. It's there. He's inside you. It's not an it. It's not a force. It's a person living inside you, connecting you to the source of life. Can someone say amen? You can't get born again unless by the Spirit. You can't just wake up one day and think, right, I've decided to get born again today. Well, I'm going to get saved. God comes and He convicts you. He starts doing a work inside you. How many of you know that this has happened in your life? God does things in your life. Praise the Lord. Huh? You literally have everything inside you. The way that God Almighty works on the earth now is through and by His Holy Spirit. You have to understand, Jesus came and He did come in the flesh. He came in the body. He came for a reason. He came for a purpose. He's always existed. He's always been there. He wasn't created. He is from the Father. He is the same essence, the same person, the same being as the Father. They have the same power. They just have different roles. And He came and He lived and He worked and He performed miracles. He did those things. History confirms the fact that He was alive and that He did what He did. There's more evidence that Jesus Christ walked the earth than there is that Julius Caesar walked the earth. Everyone believes Julius Caesar walked the earth, but people will say, well, we're not sure about Jesus. There's more evidence that He did what He did than of anything else. Even today, you've got billions of people that follow Him. But now the Holy Spirit is the one that does God's work upon the earth. And He's everywhere. He's accessible to everyone that has faith. But I've noticed that there's been an ongoing campaign by the forces of darkness against the Holy Spirit's work in people's lives. Instead of believers being filled continually by the Spirit of God so they can represent heaven here on earth, people go to extremes. Instead of us being naturally supernatural, being, you know, filled with the Spirit and living the way that Jesus lived, in a way that caused the change to come. It was attractional. It was attractive. People get extremist. They either relegate the Holy Spirit to an intellectual concept. I call these people the frozen chosen. What they do is they declare that now we have the Scriptures. We don't need the demonstration of the Spirit. We've just got the Word of God. We don't need the Spirit of God doing all that stuff. We've got the Word of God. And what they do is they get into all this intellectual stuff. They start to intellectualize everything. It's all about how much Greek do you know and how much Hebrew do you know and, you know, what is the past participle of this present tense, conjunctive, whatever. Are you with me? They'll cross a city to win an argument about doctrine, but they wouldn't cross the street to win a soul. Because it's all up here. Then you have the other people. You have these frozen chosen that keep what experience they've had with the Holy Spirit bottled up in their one-time experience of salvation. So they're saved by the Spirit and that's it. Poof. That's it. That's all we need. That's all we got. Frozen chosen. Then you have the other extreme. There are others who turn the power of the Holy Spirit into a weird thing. The tree-shaped people. Presence of God comes and they're all making different shapes like trees. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Or they're falling on the ground or they're making weird noises. Come on now. I've said it before, I love the power of God, but if you start barking like a dog, the security will take you out for a walk. These are the charismaniacs. Charisma, it means the gift of the Spirit. You have the charismatics that believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They believe in speaking in tongues. They believe in the power of healing. They believe that you can be filled with the Spirit, etc., etc. They're charismatics. Charismaniacs are the ones that take it too far. They do weird stuff. They flip about on the floor. They're all over the place. They have weird stuff going on. They have strange things taking place. They listen to strange things. They speak strange things. They spill what they've received. See, you've got the chosen frozen, right? The frozen chosen that keep what they've received. Then you've got the charismaniacs that spill what they've received. They just spill it out willy-nilly all over the place. Instead of pouring out the Spirit, they spill it. It's like it's an accident. Both of these things are incorrect. Both of these extremes are incorrect. But there's another way, as we've seen in our opening scripture. It is a continuous filling and refreshing of the Spirit of God. And when you have that in your life, it causes you to live in a way that honors God, and it becomes attractive to unbelievers because they want what you've got. How many of you've ever just been doing your thing and someone says, what is it that you've got? You're going through a hard time, but you've still got a positive attitude. You're going through this. I never hear you curse. You know, people get around you and they start swearing and then they start apologizing for swearing. How many of you know there was a lot of Christians that were out there effing and blinding and effing and jeffing, getting drunk, going to the club. Oh, I've got to leave early. Why? I've got church in the morning. Shame on you, man. Huh? Shame on you. Getting drunk. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you live in a way that you've just got life. You don't need to get drunk. You don't need to take drugs. You don't need to mess around. You don't need to become so relevant to the world that you become irrelevant to the world. But a lot of people, they get drawn that way. They get drawn into all of these mad things because they don't want to be just intellectual, and they don't know how to just be continually filled and refreshed. So they go to extremes. In these verses that we read, the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, is contrasted with being filled or drunk with wine. And the idea is about being controlled by God's Spirit rather than other forces that try to make you feel good. Some of you know life gets hard. Life gets tough. Life has challenges. And sometimes what people do is they turn to other things to try and make themselves feel good in the midst of the hardship. When what the apostle is saying is, don't be filled with wine. Don't get drunk with wine. You don't have to lose your mind. You don't have to do all that stuff. Just be filled with the Spirit. It will lift you up. It will take you forward. You'll love life. You'll enjoy life instead of just enduring life. And the problem is, in Christianity, is life gets tough. But if we don't understand how to be continually filled with the Spirit of God, then what's going to happen is we're going to walk in different paths. You're going to go from one extreme to the other. You're either going to contain everything or you're going to spill everything when God wants to fill you so you can be poured out. When we're filled by the Spirit, we see an attitude that results in our lives of joy and thanksgiving. It don't matter what you're going through. You know what you're going through. Hallelujah. It don't matter what you're going through. You know what you're going to. You know that you're getting through. You know that you're going to make it to the other side. You know that God has promised you something and He is faithful to keep His promises. It don't matter how dark the night. It don't matter how hard the affliction, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. When you get through the other side, you're going to be bigger, you're going to be better, you're going to know God more. There's going to be more character. There's going to be more capacity within your life. This is the truth. And the difference is that when you're filled with the Spirit, this comes from inside you and it don't have to come from outside you. So people are running about trying to get this, get that, do this, do that, experience this, experience that, from outside. And then you're subject to all the outside forces. You're only happy if you've got money. Someone said money don't make you happy. It's true. Amen. Money. I've known many rich, miserable people. But I don't mind being filled with the Spirit and rich. Huh? Praise the Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Are you with me? As long as you know, because then you know what to do with your money. It ain't just about me. Because you don't need the money to make you feel happy. You can actually use the money to make someone else feel happy. Huh? We also see when you're filled with the Spirit, there's a relational posture that we take of humility and friendliness towards other people. when you're filled with the Spirit. You submit to other people. If someone else is better than you at doing something, then they take the lead. If someone else is right, you don't have to fight to be right. Come on now. Huh? How many of you know there's many people that fight to be right? They've got to be right. Because otherwise, if they're not, if they've lost that battle, shut up, man. You see it in relationships, huh? Husbands and wives fighting. Who's going to be right and who's going to be wrong? As if it matters. Once you fight, you're both wrong. None of you are right. As soon as you fight, you're both wrong. Huh? Darkness has entered into your relationship. Darkness has entered into your heart. Why does darkness come in any way, shape, or form? It's because we cover the light up. Because darkness can only exist in the absence of light. Are you with me? So someone's hiding something. Might be a prideful attitude, might be a situation, might be something else. Huh? When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you don't moan and complain about your life or other people. You don't enjoy your life, you enjoy it. I mean, even though there's some people that they're supposedly Spirit-filled Christians, huh? But all they ever do is complain about their pastors. They complain about their church. Well, I'm going to go to another church. Huh? This church don't meet my needs. It's not meant to meet your needs. It's meant to be a place that you gather with like-minded people to worship God. Are you with me? Get fed and grow. Not to come and get your little ears tickled. Huh? Get a little arm around you all the time. Are you with me? Some people moan and complain about their work. Well, I hate my job. Well, give it up and have no money. Well, I hate not having a job. I hate having no money. You either hate having money and having a job, or you hate having no money and not having a job. Shut up, man. Come on. Are you with me? We moan. People moan and complain. Their spouse. Woo! They were the best thing since sliced bread when you first met them. Oh, you're so beautiful. Huh? And people in church, right, sometimes are the biggest hypocrites. Come on now. We're meant to be there, you know, marriage and, you know, yeah, this is God's idea, God's will for me, praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know why I got married to this woman. You should have heard you when you were single. You would have married anyone. Anyone. Huh? Now you're married, it's like, oh, I think I made a mistake. How many of you? Oh, I'm not going to ask. Huh? Marriage is a beautiful thing. When I was coming back, I was in an airport and there was this old couple. I mean, they were so old, they looked like tortoises. You know what I mean? All wrinkled and skinny and that. Really old, man. But he was talking to his wife like I've never heard. Everything was like, yeah, darling. Oh, babe. Oh, my love. Oh, beautiful. Oh, precious. I was blown away. So I had to go and speak to him. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, I've been sitting here. I've been overhearing you. I said, it's blown me away. I said, but can I ask how old you are? He said, I'm 96. I was like, 96? And he's getting on my flight. Oh, no. 96. I went, wow. I said, I overheard you talking to your wife. You've called her beautiful. You've called her love. You've called her darling. You've called her precious. I said, can I ask what your secret is? He said, yeah. He said, I forgot her name 10 years ago and I've been scared to ask. People complain about the weather. Huh? Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Huh? The reason why we moan and complain is because we're not being filled and refreshed by the Spirit of God. There's no other explanation for it. Because when you're filled and you're refreshed by the Spirit of God, everything is positive. Everything looks good. Everything is looking forward. Everything is better. So what happens, man? Huh? It's one of two things. It's one of two things that I've identified. Lids or leaks? Lids or leaks? Lids stop us receiving fresh things from God. They're limitations. These include things like emotional limitations. I mean, if you know that we've all been through some emotional stuff in our lives, right? Some people have abandonment issues. They never had, you know, anyone that kind of, you know, parents that got with them and all the rest of it. Some people have rejection issues. They've been rejected, right? These form limitations. Some people have fear in their lives. They're governed by fear. And there's two types of fear. There's either fear of failure, which a lot of people have, so they don't want to step out and do it in case they fail, because then they're going to feel really down. But I think in Victory Outreach, the fear of failure is not as big as the fear of success. See, with the fear of success comes the feeling of, if I do it, then I'm going to get more responsibility, and I don't really want it. I just want to chill through, man. Are you with me? And that's why people don't become the best that they can be, is so that they don't have to take as much as they have to take. Because responsibility means there's less time for you. And so people, they don't seek that better way. They don't seek that promotion. Are you with me? Some of you are afraid to put your hand up right now. You know, someone once said, the reward for doing a good job is getting more work. That's my experience being a pastor. Huh? Every time I do something good, they give me something else to do. You know, you almost feel like sometimes doing something bad, because at least then you get someone putting their arm around you and saying, how are you doing? And sometimes that's what happens with people. They mess up because they want someone to come and tap them on the back, put their arm around them and say it's going to be okay and give them a cuddle. Because when you're doing good, no one comes and congratulates you. They just expect you to do more. Well, I mean, you're feeling that one. Huh? Some of you, like, you jog back in your chair like that. Huh? Then there's educational limitations. Some people don't feel qualified to live at their best, and so they dumb down their life. Listen, it don't matter what degrees you've got. Are you with me? I know people with more degrees than a thermometer, and they couldn't butter toast. Are you with me? They butter a bit of toast, it leaves it with a big hole. All messed up, they give you a bit of toast. I'm like, you've got a master's degree and 15 degrees and you're qualified this. You can't even butter a piece of toast. What's the matter with you? Just because you haven't got qualifications, it doesn't mean that you have to be limited. Huh? Get qualifications. I'm doing a master's, I'm 50 nearly. Wow, I don't like it, I'm scared of it, I hate it. I don't like it, I'm not comfortable with it. But I'm doing it because I ain't gonna dumb down my life. Huh? And how can I be around this worship team? There's PhDs up here, there's MAs, MBSCs, BAs, and every other sort of thing. Huh? Then there's economic limitations. Economic limitations in the kingdom of God just means that you don't understand how God's economy works. See, there should be no limitation economically in the kingdom of God. Yeah, there's times when you ain't going to have enough money, so you think, but God is more than enough. So therefore, if you do things according to his will, you're never going to have not enough. But what happens is when people have economic limitations and they don't understand how God's economy works, they withhold their spiritual giving, their tithes and offerings, and therefore they block God being able to bless them financially. They try and bless themselves. They think, I'm going to keep my money because I know how I'm going to cut it and splice it and I know where everything's going. Control freak. Oh, that was heavy, yeah. People are like, what are you talking about? You might be doing okay, but you could be doing better. You don't withhold, you give. And the more you give, the more you bless. That's true in my life. I can stand here, hold my hands up. You can ask anyone that knows us. Me and my wife give. We give to United. We can. Like, a lot. I'm like, man. United, we can. These missionaries better deserve this. They better go out and make a difference. You know what I mean? Every time I see a missionary, I'm like, oh, you. What you been doing? How many souls you won in the Lord? Huh? Amount of money I've been giving to you. Tithes and off 10%. We've passed that up years ago. Are you with me? And God blesses us. Are you with me? He blesses us, man. I ain't got a Rolls Royce. I don't want one. Big, ugly looking thing. Huh? I ain't got a massive house, but I've got a nice one. Praise the Lord. God's economy, but we have economic limitations. Then there's ethnic or gender or class limitations. We think that because we're from a different ethnicity. Listen, in certain countries, black people, brown people, you know, Asian people, whatever, are an ethnic minority, right? And it's difficult being a minority. I understand that. When I go abroad, I'm an ethnic minority. And I understand that. It's difficult. People look at you different. They speak about you different, right? It's difficult. But don't let that stop you from becoming your best. Look around in this church. We got all colors. We got all different ethnicities and different backgrounds and different genders. Come on now. Jesus smashed this at the cross. Galatians 3:28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. There are now none of these barriers to salvation and being filled with the power of God's Spirit. It don't matter where you come from. Don't matter what sex you are. You can be filled with the power of God. But these limitations get screwed onto us. And although we have the filling and sealing of the Spirit within us, we bottle everything up so that we just manage to stay saved but don't actually do much with our one-time filling. Nothing gets poured out. And therefore, there's no room for a fresh outpouring. So you need to let God free you from that limitation. And this happens by faith. Luke says of Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 5, that he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He says of Barnabas in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, that he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, because the two go together. If a person is filled with faith, he will be filled with the Spirit. All that means is that you've got to trust in what God says, not in your own sense of what's real. Sometimes we have our own sense of reality. Forget that. What does God say? Then you put your trust in that. And then all of a sudden it starts to open up for you a new realm of life and of living. Can someone say amen? Then there's the leaks. These stop us from retaining what we receive. Your capacity is one thing when you get saved, but it seems to get less over time. Huh? Sometimes you feel like you've peaked. How many of you feel like you peaked once upon a time? Come on, now, let me see hands. You peaked. Chances are you haven't peaked, you just leaked. Sometimes you're firing on all cylinders. Once you were up there, you were doing this, you were enjoying things, everything was great. You were joyful, you were humble, you were grateful, and you were powerful. But now it's not the same. Now instead of pouring out your life in service to your Savior, your life is just leaking out in other ways. Something got in. Something penetrated your life. Maybe it was sin. Maybe it was loss. Maybe it was disappointment or fear or possibly doubt. And now your capacity's changed. I'm going to demonstrate this to you before we close. Is that all right? Because I want you to catch this. I need 4 volunteers. Praise the Lord. I want 2 men and 2 women. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to demonstrate this. Can everyone see? Can everyone see? Huh? Someone at the back. No, I can't. All right, Barty, man. Your time's coming. I want you to hold the bowl. I want you to hold the shank. I want you to hold the bowl and you to hold the bowl. Praise the Lord. This is you when you get saved. Okay? The capacity of this bottle is 500 milliliters. Would everyone agree? Says it there. Would you agree? That's its capacity. It's filled to capacity right now. This is you when you get saved. When you get saved, before you were saved, you were an empty bottle, an empty vessel, empty of life. But then the Spirit of God comes into you, fills you up to the limit. You're born again, born afresh. Everything's new. Huh? Justified, sanctified, going to be glorified. And then you're sealed. Hallelujah. Huh? Nothing can rob you of it. Are you with me? You've got everything you need. Hallelujah. How many of you have felt like that once? Let me see your hands. Huh? Praise the Lord. The problem is that if this stays like this, it's never ever going to have a fresh understanding of what it means to serve God. It has a one-time thing. Imagine you kept this bottle in your cupboard for 50 years. Would you drink it at the end? Because it would be all funky. How many of you have ever drunk funky water? Huh? It's funky, man. It's horrible. But the reason why it's funky is because it's just been in there contained. It's not attractive. It's not refreshing. You don't want to drink it. You don't want to be anywhere near it. You just want to throw it away. And it's because of its lid, the limitation. If I was to say to you that the whole of this sanctuary could be filled with water and this bottle could contain it all, would you believe me? Some of you are like, no, because this is bigger than the bottle. Right? But what about if you unscrewed the lid and then poured out your life in service to the King? See, then what's happening is all of a sudden you're creating new room for God to pour in. Two things needed to be done. First, the cap, the lid, the limitation had to be unscrewed from your life. Only God can do that. You can't unscrew yourself. There's a lot of people trying to unscrew themselves, spinning around on their heads like a break dancer, trying to get the lid off. Going here, going there, doing this, doing that. No, you need to go before God in faith and say, change me. Break the limitation. Take the limitation off. But first of all, you have to agree that you got one. You have to accept that you got one. Then you have to trust that God is the one that can do it. And God puts his hand upon your life and he starts to unscrew the lid. But then you can just stay as a bottle. And you're still going to have funky water. In fact, sometimes it's even going to get worse because dust and dirt and stuff can get in. So what you need to do is you need to start to pour out your life. That's why we say, get involved. Get in the ushering. Get on the streets. Get in the worship. Get in a life group. Get in a kids gang. Be on the sound. Be somewhere. So then you're pouring your life out. Then the Spirit of God can pour fresh water into you. And then all of a sudden, you ain't feeling the funkiness. You ain't feeling the tiredness. You ain't feeling that old stuff going on. It's fresh and it's new. And it can happen every single day, every single week of your life. But you have to pour out in order to get poured into. Are you with me? That's the lids. Many of you have limitations. You call them boundaries. Well, I'll come to church on Sunday, but only if the sun's not out, only if it's not half term, only if the football's not on, and, you know, only if I feel like it. You've got a limitation. You ain't attractive to no one, except yourself and your own pride, huh? Because you're not pouring nothing out. Are you with me? You ain't pouring nothing out. You ain't pouring out no worship. You ain't congregationally pouring it out. You ain't coming and giving. You ain't coming and serving. You ain't doing nothing. You're just taking care of your own business. Limitations need to come off so that fresh things can come in. Are you with me? But then the second thing, I want you to hold this bottle over there. It might be that something else creeps in. You're the shank man. I want you to hold the bowl. Mind your fingers, because it'll cut you. No. Not up there. Do it down there. Hold it. Plunge it. Get your hand out of the way so people can see. All right? Trust her. Open the thing right up. No. Just plunge it. It's stabbed it again. It's merciless. I wanted you to go through the hole. I'm staying away from that. Huh? All right, that's enough. That's enough. He's like a monster. Look. What's the capacity of the bottle now? The capacity is the level of its wound. It's the level of its offense. It's the level of its disappointment. It's the level of its sin. It's the level of its loss. Take the lid off. I've got an electric mic in my hand. Right? Watch this. Now, even if you take the limits off and you believe for more, watch what happens. Take the lid off. Pour the water in. Lift it up. Lift the bottle up. It don't matter what God tries to pour into you now. You can go to as many different worship services, prayer services. You can fast, you can pray. You can become a disciple. You can get around your pastor. You can get around your pastor's wife. You can get around the leadership. And you can get poured into in all a manner of different ways. But the problem is, it don't matter how much I pour into you, or how much my wife pours into you, or how much your leader pours into you, or how much God pours into you. All the good stuff that's getting poured into you just leaks out of the wound. You can't retain it. See, there's the one where you can't receive it, and there's the one where you can't retain it. And every single one in this place, I believe, mostly as one or the other right now. Because if it was not true, then the power of God would be manifesting in and through your life on a constant basis. You'd be living at the peak of your life. You'd be living at full capacity. You'd be pouring out into other people. You'd be have joy. You'd have peace. You'd have power. You'd have passion. But instead, people come and make it happen. And then they get to the point and they think they've got just enough to get by. And they think, well, I'm saved. I've got God. Yeah, you've got God. But God can't get you. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to notice one more thing as you stand. When that knife went in, you notice that water squirted out. You know that if you have a lid, you just can't receive anything. You're just there doing your thing. It's your stuff. It's your way. It's your will be done. There's nothing you can do about that. You're just getting by. You think it's a boundary. Well, I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to go so far. I'm only going to allow this to happen. And you separate your life into the secular and the sacred. You say, well, I serve God on a Sunday, but my life is mine for the rest of the week. Then if you think like that, then my question is, are you even saved? Because there is no separation. When you belong to Jesus, you belong to him. All the time, everywhere, all of you. He takes your bad, he gives you his good. He takes your life, he gives you his life. But then when you get wounded, you'll know that you're wounded because it would have affected someone else around you as well. Because when the wound went in, the water came out and someone else gets wet. Your spouse gets wet, your kids get wet, your parents get wet. People around you get wet, people in work get wet. With your moaning and your complaining and your problems. But when you're healed, see, the thing is, you can hold your finger in the wound for a little bit. You can hold yourself up for a little bit. You can get by for a while. But eventually it's going to leak out and you haven't got the capacity that you had. You can't hold it together all the time. You need to be healed. And only God can do that. And these two things, only God is able to do what needs to be done. Only he is able to unscrew the lid on your life. And only he is able to heal that which has been broken. Close your eyes, lift up your hands. If I said to you that the Spirit of God wants to take you on a journey of amazing experiences in life, He wants to use you for his honor and his glory. He wants to pour into you his life in a new, fresh way. He wants you to know and understand who he is, what he can do. But it's going to take you to release the limitations, move the boundaries, give room for God. Don't spill out in weirdness, but pour out intentionally the good things that you've received. Tell someone about Jesus. Pray for someone else. Give. Serve. Then you'll be refreshed. Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses." We don't receive the power of God to make us feel good, to make us look good. We receive the power of God so that we can go and do good. And the best that we can do is to shine with his light, to show his life, to tell other people about the Savior, to live in a way that brings him glory. So it's either the lid that needs to be removed or the leak needs to be healed. Today in this place, you can have one or the other, or even both, and the Spirit of God will fill you up. Or you can stay the same. You can put your hand over your wound. You can get by. You can get sympathy. You can get support. You can have someone walking by the side of you with their hand over your wound while you leak all over them. Or you can let God come and heal you. But you have to do this stuff. We sing that song, "Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Fill me up, Lord." Sometimes we need to come to the altar and say, "Heal me up, Lord. Heal me up, Lord. Heal me up." And listen, leaders leak. I've leaked. I've been stabbed so many times. I've had loss. I've had backbiting, backstabbing. People pull me apart all the time. They complain about the church. They want to leave because they've had an argument with someone. They've done this, they've done that. Something's happened. They don't feel it no more, whatever. So it's easier somewhere else. It's more convenient, whatever. People leave who you've worked with. That hurts, man. That stabs. People talk about you. That's a stab. You have loss. That's a stab. There's sickness. That's a stab. And you leak. And you can cover yourself up a few times, but you find yourself not operating at full capacity. And then you have to wake up and smell the coffee and say, "You know what? I ain't operating the way I'm operating." I've seen it in the pastors, man. One minute they're right on fire. The next minute they're nowhere to be seen. They're leaking. Their capacity is less. They need to be healed. Or they've capped themselves and said, "Right, I'm going no further than this." But today, God wants to pour out a new fresh outpouring in the life of this church. There's going to be joy. Oh, man, there's going to be peace. There's going to be the power of his Spirit. There's going to be a refreshing. But if you can't receive it or you can't retain it, then you need to come to this altar and you need to let God deal with it right now. So if that word spoke to you today, I want you to come out from your seat and stand in this place. Lift up your prayer to God and say, "God, release me. God, open me up. God, heal me." Don't be prideful. And don't be ashamed. Just come, because you don't want to stay the same. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your hands and speak to God. Speak to him right now.
To find out more about us, go to www.vomanchester.org and feel free to come and visit us every Sunday at our 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. services. See you soon.